sermon this morning is from Mark chapter 1. You turn with me there, please. Sermon's on verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Please pray with me. Our God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you have preserved it for centuries. We pray now, God, that as we look to you, we look to what you have done and who you are, you would show us how you would have us respond. Help us to be the sons and daughters that you would have us be. Help us to respond in love, loving you and loving one another. But God, please also give us a bigger picture of your kingdom and our place in your kingdom and what it would mean for us to live a life of your kingdom, for your kingdom, and for your glory. So God, please open all of our hearts. Please open all of our minds. God, and may we run to you, committed to do as you say, committed to throw off the things that you would have us throw off, and live lives for your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the last decade or so, there have been several movies made about King Arthur and Camelot and Guinevere. One of these was called The First Knight. And in this movie, they set up King Arthur as an older man in the last years of his life. And he had labored for this kingdom. And they did an interesting thing. They pictured the kingdom a lot like God's kingdom. And the purpose within his kingdom was for people to serve one another. Even the knights of the round table, it was about service. It was about serving the kingdom. But one of his knights had broken away. This renegade knight started his own kingdom. And with a mind and an eye to eventually come back and take over Camelot. Well, in this climactic scene, they were having a trial out in the courtyard, and all of Camelot had turned out, and everybody's watching the good and noble king, waiting to see what he's going to do. And then the renegade knight shows up, and he has a torch, and he has a crossbow, and all these other dark knights show up from among the crowd with torches and crossbows, and they warn Arthur that now you turn over the kingdom, or we're going to burn it to the ground, and we're going to slaughter everyone. So the renegade knight orders King Arthur to kneel before him and to command his subjects to swear allegiance to him. So King Arthur steps out, and he draws his sword, and he goes to his knees, and they show his loyal subjects with tears in their eyes. And he says, "I now, as your king, command all of you." And when you expect him to say, "Surrender," he stands to his feet and he draws his sword with a ring and says, "To fight!" And then arrows whiz through the air. Arthur is filled with arrows and falls to the ground and he dies. But the subjects do rise up and the subjects do fight and they do take the kingdom. What if this picture were different? What if this good and noble king laid down his life for his subjects? But instead of living the life of service and the life of brotherhood that they were called to, they just began to act like the rest of the renegades. It would be heartbreaking. Well, sadly, we do find ourselves in these circumstances and in these situations. We have the good and noble King who has laid his life down for us. We have the good and noble King who has called us to love one another and serve one another as a part of this good and beautiful eternal kingdom. But sadly, instead of living this kingdom life, oftentimes we do act like the renegades. So we need to look at these scriptures as Jesus Christ is proclaiming the kingdom is near, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. We need to look at what does that mean for you? What does it mean for you to see the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is even in our midst? And you and I are called to repent. You and I are called to believe. So this is the call this morning. Live the kingdom life. Repent and believe. Look at what your God, your King has done, laying His life down for you. And live the life, the kingdom life you have been called to. Look with me at verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near, or even at hand. Repent and believe the good news. The gospel is the good news. The good news that you and I, or anyone who puts their faith in Christ, does not have to be destroyed for their sins. I had the opportunity to speak with a firefighter on Thursday night, and we were talking about God, and the subject of judgment came up. And he said, I don't think God punishes, judges, and punishes. And I looked him square in the eye and I said, God will judge every sin. Or God is not holy. Or God is not good. And the gospel, the message that Jesus Christ went to the cross, is our good news and it is our hope, but it is also the picture that shows God does judge sin. No sin will go unpunished. So anyone under the sound of my voice now who has not given your life to Christ, you must repent. You must turn from your sin and you must believe. And all of you who have put your faith in Christ, you must repent. You must put your faith in Christ. And you must believe. The Scripture calls the gospel of God. It calls the gospel of Christ. It calls the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of peace. The gospel of your salvation. And the glorious gospel. You see, God takes sin so seriously, and He takes your sin so seriously. The ones that we harbor, the ones that we don't let go of, the ones that we run back to, the things that we keep at arm's distance. To touch on the things that we should say, but we tolerate. The times where we should speak up, but we do not. You see, these are dangerous sins, because why would we not speak unless we are ashamed of God's gospel ashamed of God's truth and ashamed of Jesus Christ. He's told us, if you're ashamed of me and my word, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. So this too is a sin that we, as God's church, as God's children, must repent of. This life of repentance and belief will be and must be the reality of your life as you keep in mind the reality of God's kingdom before you. Look with me at verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. We think of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we act as if we want God's will done in our lives. We act as if we want the kingdom here, now, in our midst. But oftentimes that isn't the case. As it begins to unfold for us, and as it begins to unfold in our lives, and it doesn't look like what we want it to look like. It doesn't look like what we would expect. You see, all of life and all of reality is held together and it is controlled by God. And as these unexpected things happen and as these unhappy things happen, we recoil. But it is a part of God's kingdom coming and God's will being done. Even these hard things that we face, because they are the opportunities for us to stand up. They are the opportunities for us to embrace God's will, and they are the opportunities for you to bear witness to Christ's mercy and love in the face of persecution. And oftentimes things will unfold in our own church, and it's not what we expected, and it's not what we wanted, and we'll fight against things moving and fight against things working and fight against things changing because it's not the kingdom that we had in mind. But it is God's will. The Pharisees had this problem as they were giving Jesus a hard time. He told them, the kingdom of God is upon you. That's in Matthew 12:28. So they're giving Jesus a hard time for the things that he's doing and the way that he's working and the glories that they're seeing. And his response was, the kingdom of God is on you. It's upon you. And this is why these things are happening. This is why you're facing these things. So have this kingdom mindset and this kingdom worldview. There's the kingdom worldview. God created everything. God's in control of everything. And God is working everything together for good for those who fear and love Him, no matter what it feels like. And He's coming again, and He will judge sin. Have this kingdom worldview. And this will cause you to respond to God with love. In your circumstances, in your difficult circumstances, and in your pains, and as you're responding to difficult people, marvel that it is your opportunity to live the kingdom life as servants of God. See, we go through our lives with our minds wrapped, with our minds thinking we know what the kingdom of God will be like in our lives, in our families, in our church buildings, in our world, but oftentimes we're like ants in an ant farm, doing our little work, doing our little things, completely oblivious to the big work of God in the big picture. But we must take God's will. Remember the kingdom worldview. And worship and glorify God in the midst of it. Having this kingdom worldview will make you, will cause you to make being a disciple your life. Look with me at verses 17 and 18. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. Have you considered what it means for Christ to say to you, "Come follow me"? What does it mean for you specifically to follow Christ? Here, it meant the disciples dropping their nets, even quitting their jobs, and literally walking behind Jesus. What does it mean for you? It doesn't necessarily mean quit your job. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's a complete reworking of your life. We see in scriptures that the disciples did walk behind Jesus, following him, living life with him, sitting down and eating with him, hearing him teach. We see an account of Jesus in the home of the mother-in-law of Peter, in that house with him. They slept under the stars together. They worshiped together. Well, your life as a disciple of Christ is not that different. Your life as a disciple of Christ, he would expect you to eat with him. He would be present at your meals. As you lay down and sleep at night, he would expect that he would be with you and you would be with him. As you walk through your daily life, it would be expected that you would be following him, following his word, what he has said, living, acting, speaking as he would have you speak. As you go to your mother-in-law's house, he would expect to be with you, that you would speak and act and live the way that he would have you speak. See, this is kingdom life. It is the life of a disciple. It is the life of someone who not only has been with Christ, but the life of someone who is with Christ. It can be compared to a positive peer pressure. As you're in a circumstance and someone makes this statement and you think you can get away with not having a response, and then you remember Jesus is with you, he would expect you to respond the way he would have you respond as his disciple. So this kingdom mindset is living as a disciple of Christ, with Christ all the time. When you get up, when you go to work, when you do your work in the home or wherever it is, when you interact with family, with Christ. And when you're alone, in those times where it feels like you can get away with anything, living with Christ. See, having this kingdom mindset, you are never without him. You are never alone. He hears your thoughts even now in this pew as you start thinking about other things. He hears you. You are with him. You are his disciple. You are a part of his kingdom. And as you live this life, God calls you to be fishers of men. Look with me at verse 17. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." One of the great things that struck me about this section is Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." It's something He's going to do to you. And how did that process, or how does that process take place? It is living the life of a disciple that we already talked about. That you will make fishers of men. That you will gather people. That you will diligently search for God's elect. As you're out in the world, as you're out in these places, as you're at your in-law's house, as you're talking to your children and your children's friends, searching for God's elect. What did He tell His disciples before He flew to heaven? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that disciple life was meant to do something. That disciple life was meant to spread. And as you are disciples, you are not complete unless you are fishing for men. Unless you are searching for God's elect. Unless you are teaching them to obey everything that He had commanded. You know, for some people, it is even easy to witness. But we see here, it doesn't end there. And part of this, the fulfillment of this commandment takes place in our midst as we teach them to obey everything that He has commanded. Paul brought the same message to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, he points out this suffering and he points out this hardship, because persecution is a way of the Christian life. Having people look down on you, and we can loosely tie it to the text. We see in verse 14, after John was put in prison, see, what did John do? What was John about other than proclaiming the kingdom, other than calling people to repent and to follow Christ and follow the Lamb of God, other than calling people to follow God's will and to quit sinning? And this was the very message: stop your sin, that got John thrown into prison. You see, and as you live the kingdom life, you will face persecution. You will face trials. The reality will hit you between the eyes. And it comes from unbelievers, but it will also come from believers. Because we all have these pieces of sin still in us and these pieces of the old world that cause us to lash out at light, that cause us to lash out at higher standards than we're used to, or higher standards than we want. Before I was brought to the Reformed faith, I hated that people would teach that you should keep the Sabbath, because I wasn't taught that, and it was a higher standard than I was ready for, or a higher standard than I was used to. And as you proclaim kingdom truth, people will lash out at you. Remember the kingdom worldview. Remember that God is in control. He sees this, and He has even told you, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely on account of me. You see, living the kingdom life and proclaiming kingdom truth is like walking through a dark building, down a dark hallway with a flashlight. And as you travel, you stop and you turn and you shine your light into these dark rooms. And there's people doing wicked things. And they will hate your light. And they will hate you. But remembering that God is enthroned above all, remembering that Jesus Christ is with you and you are His disciples, do not fear the persecution. Do not fear following and obeying Christ. But only fear not doing it. You have been given your light for a reason. You have been given kingdom truth for a reason. And it is not to put it under a basket. Hold on to your kingdom truth. Learn kingdom truth. Proclaim kingdom truth. Living your kingdom life. Now, we have a sense of urgency given to us in these scriptures. Look with me at verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. It is even the kingdom of God is at hand. If time for action was so immediate for the disciples then, how much more so for you now? If they were called to act immediately, if the kingdom of heaven was so close then, and so much more has been accomplished since then, how much more so should you make a decision even now? And we're talking about specific decisions. I don't want to speak in generalities, and I don't want you to think in generalities. I don't want you to think, yes, I should be more kingdom-minded and okay. There. We're more kingdom-minded. But you must think specifically about your life, and in the think specifically about the areas of your life where you are not kingdom-minded. Think about the areas specifically where you need to change. Think about the areas specifically where you have to throw off the remnants of the old man. Think about habits that you have that need undone and new godly habits that need to be in your life. And decide even now to change them. You see, if we just come to worship, and we just hear the word, and we are not doers of the word, we are falling sadly short. This word here, for the filled up, it's really interesting. When it says the kingdom of God has come, or the time has come, as we see in verse 15, a more literal translation would be, it has been filled up. Time has been filled up. And it's as if God, as a time were an empty glass. And God took this glass that was empty at the beginning of time, and He starts filling it up with these pictures of Christ. He poured a little in with Melchizedek. And He poured some in with King David as a type of Christ. And He poured some in with Solomon. And He poured some more in with Isaiah. And He kept filling it up and filling it up and filling it up until the new Elijah came and the glass is full. Time has been fulfilled, is the message. And you, church, you, Christian, you, disciples, have been handed the full glass. So you are called to act. You are called to be the disciples. You are called to live the kingdom life. You are called to repent and believe. You are called to lay down your sins. Take on new patterns of righteousness. You're called to make disciples and to teach them to make disciples. You, sons and daughters of the Most High, are called to do it even now. To to act now. Live as children of God now. Follow Christ every step throughout your life. Live life with Him as a disciple. Be disciples and live the life of the children of God within His kingdom. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You for Your Word and we thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You have preserved Your Word. Now, God, please make us who You would have us be. Thank You for the full glass that You have handed us. God, and may we live lives of repentance. God, make the reality of our sin so heavy on us as we consider Your glory, as we consider Your splendor. God, as we sin every day in thought, word, and deed, God, make us repent every day the sins of our thoughts. God, make us repent every day of our sinful words. God, and make us repent every day of our sinful deeds. And may we truly live lives that glorify You, that look to You, and that look to Your kingdom. God, and may we do it even now, for You and for Your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.